As was mentioned in the announcements, we are certainly glad to have the presence of each and every one of you here this morning. We do have some visitors that have come our way, and we are thankful for your presence, and we hope that you feel that you are an honored guest, because in our eyes, that's exactly what you are. We are honored to have you here to be with us, and as we study a portion of God's Word, and as we sing songs of praise unto Him, we ask that you listen to the things that are said and that are done. See if they are in accordance with the Word of God, because that is our desire. Monday through Sunday, we want to do what God says. As we have gathered here upon the first day of the week, we want to do nothing more, and certainly nothing less, than what is commanded of us by God. In this generation in which we live now, demonstrations have become a part of our lifestyle. They have become a part of the culture in which we live. Going back, I suppose, to my early childhood in the 60s, we saw many demonstrations that were made by people on behalf of one thing or another. Civil rights demonstrations that were very prevalent in our nation at that time. And they were demonstrating, as many of them were, for whatever cause it was, were doing that because they felt a need, or a need for a change in some area or another. And as a matter of fact, the one that happened in the 60s concerning the civil rights, they had a demonstration to celebrate that demonstration not too long ago. And this is the way that our society is. There are large gatherings, there are small gatherings to demonstrate people who have a commitment to a cause. They believe in that particular cause. It can be done on a local scale. We see that in our own area, how that people might gather to get some point across to some politician or something. Or it can be done on a nationwide scale. I can remember not too long ago, it doesn't seem too long ago, it is though, I guess if you count it in years, when we were living in Amarillo, they had this thing called Hands Across America. And they wanted people to join hands one Sunday afternoon all the way across the United States, because they had something that they wanted to demonstrate. They wanted to make people aware of something. And I can't remember what it was they wanted to make me aware of, but I remember that demonstration that they were wanting to make people conscious of some particular thing. And so they demonstrated in this way. Demonstrations usually carry with us a bad image, because it brings to our mind perhaps unrest, people that are not satisfied about certain things. With these demonstrations, we find sometimes even people being arrested because of unruly behavior and riots that are a result. But what we want to look at this morning is the demonstrators themselves, perhaps we might say, and what they possess. That they possess certain things that cause them to be committed to the cause that they have. And we look at them and we see that they have a zeal for what they believe. They have a love for that cause. Perhaps it is they want to help someone else who is unfortunate. And they have a love for that person. We also see that they, as we mentioned a few moments ago, they have a desire to educate others. Because not too long ago we heard the word they wanted to raise people's consciousness. They wanted to make people aware of certain things. Or perhaps it is that they wanted to convert others to their particular cause. A demonstration is really just an outward action by an individual who is committed to a certain cause, who really believes in that thing. This morning I would like to use the word or that thought in a very good way, in a good sense, even in a biblical way, to show unto us what it takes for each and every one of us to be committed to the cause of Christ. Now, we want to concentrate just on one area this morning, but I believe we could say that as we study these things, that it could apply to a majority of things in our life, if not all. We simply want to look this morning at our attendance. One of the most basic ways that we have as Christians to show our devotion unto the cause of Christ and to be in obedience unto the commands of God. demonstrations in this way, as we're going to talk about this morning, I believe are something that is scriptural, and it's also something that is good. Because we find demonstrations, we find people who are committed to a cause doing certain things, that they were compelled to do this because they wanted to. In Nehemiah chapter 8, we find as the children of Israel have come back from captivity and they were beginning to rebuild the temple and the walls of the city of Jerusalem, how that they gathered there in the city of Jerusalem to hear Ezra read the law unto them. And notice as we read here how that they had gathered and what they did. In verse 2, so Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate, from morning until midday, before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. These people had gathered there for one purpose, for Ezra to read the law unto them and for them to understand that. And they stood there from morning until midday. Notice verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And as he read from the book, they stood there. They were demonstrating their love for the law of God. They wanted to hear it. They wanted to understand it so that they could obey it. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Verse 9, and Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who taught the people said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. These people were showing their emotion. They were demonstrating their love for God and for his law as it was read unto them. They realized how wrong they had been. And they wept before God. They demonstrated their love for him. Over in Acts the 10th chapter, verse 33, we have a demonstration of people's love for God and wanting to know the truth on a much smaller scale than what we read about in Nehemiah, as Cornelius and his household had gathered there to listen to the things that Peter had to say. So I sent to you immediately, this is what Cornelius is saying to Peter, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear the things commanded you by God. We're gathered here, Cornelius said. We want to know what God wants us to do. You've done good to come and to tell us these things. There's the demonstration also by the Bereans over in Acts the 17th chapter and verse 11. As Paul came unto them and teached the word of God and taught the word of God, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find whether these things were so. They were not simply satisfied with what Paul had to say, that he was preaching concerning Christ, this Jesus of Nazareth, that he was the Messiah. They searched the Old Testament scripture to make sure. They demonstrated their love for God, for the truth that he had revealed in the Old Testament. They wanted to make sure what Paul was saying was right. These demonstrations in this way are scriptural, and I believe they are welcomed by God. What we want to look at this morning is what is needed by me as an individual if I am going to be present when God is worshiped. That I can make sure that when the congregation of the Lord comes together, that I'm going to be here. What should I possess if I'm going to be here at every assembly? Because I believe what will bring us here to one should be the things that are going to bring us here to all of them. When we are here, what is it that we are demonstrating in our life? What is it that we are telling others and showing them about ourselves? We also, in the opposite of that, want to look at, well, when I am absent, what is missing from my life? Why was I not there? What is it that the Christian should possess to demonstrate his love for God and his willingness to do what God wants him to do? One of the things that would come to our mind, I believe, in the very beginning is that of zeal. We need to have a zeal for God and for the Word of God. That must be something that we possess if we're going to be present at all the assemblies of the saints. Now, the word zeal just simply means, as it is defined by Webster, as an eager interest and enthusiasm. It means a devotion. A person who is zealous, that kind of describes that individual already in our mind. They have an interest in something. They are devoted to that particular thing. They're enthusiastic about that thing that they are zealous about. Zealous means that we have a belief in something. We have a belief in a cause, and we're enthusiastic about that. That we are not afraid to show others what we believe in, to show unto them the enthusiasm that we have. One with zeal for a cause will also perform whatever task they are called upon to do or to perform, regardless of whether it's something that is big or something that is small, because they're zealous for that. They want that particular cause that they have in mind to go forward, that they believe in. All we have to do is look at some of the political parties around the nation, the Democrats or the Republicans, and we see that every time there is an election, they call for volunteers to come forth to do a great deal of work for them. And I would imagine that a majority of the work that is done by these parties are done by volunteers. People who have a zeal for what they believe in, that particular party, they will come in and they will do whatever they're asked to do. They'll answer the phone. They'll fold flyers and they'll put it in envelopes and they'll mail whatever they're called upon to do. Because they have a zeal, because they believe in something and are committed to that thing, then they'll do it. We look at the religious world, we find a lot of denominations are exactly that same way. And a lot of the things that they get done are done by volunteers who are committed to that. They are enthusiastic in what they believe. They are committed to that particular belief. And their efforts are sparked by the zeal that they have for that cause. The same is true and should be true with our commitment unto Jesus Christ. We should possess a zeal. And if we have that zeal, then this area of attendance that sometimes can be so troublesome with congregations will not be a problem if we have that zeal. You know, Paul had zeal. Unfortunately, he had it for the wrong thing, but we can see his enthusiasm for that cause to which he was committed. Over in Acts chapter 22 and verse 3, as he is giving his defense there concerning things that he had done in his former life, he says, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God, as you all are today. He had a zeal for God, and that zeal was demonstrated in the things that he did. Now again, they were wrong in the beginning. There in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 6, he talks about his former life and what he was zealous for. He says, concerning zeal, he was persecuting the church. He was committed to his cause. He demonstrated that being committed, that zeal by the things that he did. Others we can see have that same kind of commitment. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. We find there concerning Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he had a great zeal for you, and for those in Laodicea, and those in Areopolis. He had a zeal, and that was demonstrated in his life, in the things that he did. People of God are to have this kind of zeal also. And once again, if we possess it, then we will be ready unto all good works, as Titus is told by the Apostle Paul there in the second chapter of Titus in verse 14. He says there, talking about Christ who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. This is what we are to have. We are to be zealous for the cause of Christ. And when we have that zeal, then all areas of what God wants us to do, we're going to meet them. We're going to be committed to them. The question arises, though, do we truly believe in the cause of Christ? Do we have the kind of zeal that would cause us to be committed unto it? Do we really believe those things? Do we really believe that he died for me? That he gave his life on the cross of Calvary so that I might live? That I might have spiritual life and eternal life? Do I truly believe, am I committed to the fact that he is the Son of God? That he is my King, my Lord, and my Savior? Am I committed to that? Do I truly believe that he is the only hope of salvation that I have? Now, if the answer to that question is yes, you know, we're going to do whatever he asks us to do. We're going to be zealous for his cause, and we're going to demonstrate that zeal in every day of our life. But it's also going to be true in attendance. This is what we need to possess if we are going to fulfill these commands of God. I believe also another thing that we need to possess is a desire to learn. This has got to be at the very core of our being. A desire to learn more. To know more about the cause that I am committed to. Once again, we can go to the secular world and we see social organizations. And you know, they have meetings from time to time. And one of the reasons for those meetings is that they then can impart to their members knowledge or information that they believe they need to know. These clubs get together so that they can tell their members those things that they need to know about the organization, about the efforts that they are putting forth. And those who believe in the efforts that are being made, they'll want to know more about what that club and that organization is doing because they're committed to it. If there is any progress that is being made in some project that they are engaged in, if there is someone who is in opposition to what they are striving to do, those people with enthusiasm for this cause will be at those meetings so they can learn more. They can learn more about what they are doing. When God's people come together, one of the reasons they come together is to study God's Word. There is knowledge that is imparted to each and every one. One of the reasons that we come together is to do that. It is to learn the truth. We want to know what the truth is. Paul says concerning his own Jewish brethren in Romans 10 and verse 2 that they had a zeal for God. Here's that word, that commitment that we talked about a while ago. But it was not according to knowledge. They didn't have the truth. They didn't have the right kind of knowledge. Therefore, their zeal was causing them to go off in all wrong directions. They needed the truth to guide them in the right way. That is what you and I need also. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 14, Paul says there, "And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my father." Here's that zeal that Paul had, that commitment to a cause. But once again, it was not for Christ. It was not for the Messiah. It was for Judaism. He was also headed off in the wrong direction. Paul needed to know the truth to direct that zeal that he had so he would be pleasing in the sight of God. We come together in assemblies such as this so that we might receive instruction from God, so that we might correct any misunderstanding that we have. And this is what Paul talks about there in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. "It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work." This is what the Word of God is given to us for, so that we might know what God wants us to do, so that we can direct this zeal that ought to be in us in the right direction. This is why we gather. One of the reasons why we gather. Now, this is not to say that we as Christians can't learn at home. In fact, we better be learning at home. This better not be the only time that we open the Word of God and read something from it. We should read it every day. But hopefully we can learn more of God's Word in an open study with others. As comments are made, as questions are raised that perhaps we haven't thought of before. One of the ways to demonstrate this desire to learn is by attending where the Bible is studied. Over there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, we find that Paul gives instruction unto Timothy to exercise himself unto godliness. "If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nurtured in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wise fables, and exercise yourself rather to godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." He says, exercise yourself in the godliness, and the way that you do that is to understand the Word of God and make application in your life. We have to have a desire to learn the Word of God, and when that is at the core of our being, then the commandments that God gives unto us are going to be very easy. I believe also we need to have a desire to help others. One of the things that we as Christians must realize that when we assemble, it's not just for me. I'm not the only one that is involved in coming together with those of like precious faith. Others also are to be of an interest to the faithful child of God. And when I am here, when I am present, it is to be helpful unto others because I can encourage them. I can encourage others who have the same kind of faith and the same kind of commitment to the cause of Christ as I do. Once again, we go back to these secular clubs and organizations. And attendance is something that is encouraged of all of the members. Anybody who wants to be a part of that organization, they are encouraged to attend the meeting so that things can be done. So much so that in some clubs, it becomes something that is mandatory. You have to be there. And fines are often levied to that individual who misses a certain amount of the time. And if you miss too many times, then you might be thrown out of the club. By attendance, we can see in church, in the time of the assemblies, the needs of the members can be something that is addressed. And we can encourage them. We can know what they need. We can in this way bear one another's burdens. Paul said in Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, he gives instructions to the saints there at Rome, and he says, we then who are strong are to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Then in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, he says there that we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In these times that we come together, here's an opportunity for us to fulfill that need that we see in others. Regardless of who you are, regardless of how strong you think you might be, there are times when you need help. You're going to need help. We like to think that we're all strong enough, that we're going to be able to overcome any problem that comes our way, regardless of what it is, and we'll not call on anybody for any help. That's something that is not humanly possible. We need help from time to time. If one is constantly absent from the assembly, with that one, it's often hard to discover what might be wrong, what help might be needed. And sometimes with that individual, even efforts that are made outside of the assembly with phone calls and visits or cards, it's still hard to determine where help might be needed. But by our presence, we can help others. We can discover where we can reach out to those individuals and provide those things that they need if it's within our power. By this, we have then a desire to help others, and in that we will be here. We also can make friends of God's children. I believe one of the reasons that some Christians are so weak and some of them go back into the ways of the world is because they don't make close associations with those individuals who are faithful unto God. And it is true today, just as it was 2,000 years ago, when Paul wrote by inspiration to the saints at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, that evil companions corrupt good morals. It's hard for an individual to remain strong and to remain faithful when their association is with worldly people for perhaps 40, 50, 60, 100 hours during the week. They're associating with worldly people. And yet with God's children, they only see them maybe once or twice, a couple of hours during the week. As we come together, as we have this desire to help others, we make friends of God's children. This happens as we get to know each other, as we come together to worship God. During these times also, in desiring to help others, we can make new contacts. And I believe this is very important. Time for us to welcome visitors and welcome those new members who have been baptized into Christ. One of the most discouraging things that new people will say, new members will say, and visitors will say is this: that they have been invited to come and to be with us, and that person that invited them was not there. They just simply happened not to be there, decided not to come that day. That's discouraging. We should always be on the lookout for the opportunity to convert someone unto Jesus Christ, and there's no better prospect than that individual who comes to be with us as we worship God. That's the best prospect you've got. That person that will come on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night or during the meetings and be here to listen to the Word of God, that's the best opportunity that we have. And by our presence, another opportunity might present itself. By our absence, we miss that opportunity. We then should have this desire to help others. When we have that at the core of our being, then this idea of attendance will not present a problem to us. Also, I believe we must possess within us an understanding of true values. This also should lie at the very core of our being. We have an example, both positive and negative, in the New Testament of someone who understood true value. In Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 17 through 22, we have the encounter there of Christ with a rich young ruler. The man that came to him and said unto him, "What must I do? What lack I yet?" He said, "I've done everything that the law of Moses has to say, wants me to do." And Christ said what he needed to do was to sell all that he had and give it to the poor and come and follow him. That individual went away sorrowful. Simple reason was he was not willing to part with that which he had. He was not willing to give up those physical riches. His value system was in money in the world and in treasures that he had stored up for himself. He didn't understand what was true value. In the parables in Matthew 13, though, we have an example that is given there of two individuals who understood true value. In verse 44 of chapter 13, Christ says there, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in a field, which a man finds and hid, and for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he had and buys that field. Here's one who understood true value. One who understood where treasure was, and that was in the kingdom of God, and he was willing to give up everything that he had in order to obtain that. In verses 45 and 46, kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought. He found one that was valued above everything else. And that was worth all to him. He gave up everything. That's the kingdom of God. The individual who has at their core being an understanding of true values sets their value in those things that are above. He understands that the spiritual has far greater worth than anything that is physical. And this is what Christ was trying to teach there in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19, 20, and 21 about not laying up treasure here upon this earth, because that can be taken away from you, but lay up treasure in heaven where that cannot be taken from you. Whatever is of interest to us, whatever is of value to us, that's where our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be, and those are the things that we are going to do. And as it has been said many times, we will find time to do those things that we want to do. We want to assemble with God's people. We understand true value and spiritual things. Then we're going to assemble because that's what we want to do. We find time to do what we want to do. Think of all those people who have hobbies. Think of all the very busy people who have hobbies. And you know, because they love to do that, they're going to engage in that at some time because they want to. We will do whatever we want to do. We'll find time for those things where our interest lies and where our heart and our values are. That individual who understands true value is that person that attendance won't be a problem to. We also want to worship God. We emphasize sometimes in the teaching of the Word of God at the assemblies when we do come together. But there are other things that are done. There are other avenues or ways in which we worship God. We sing praises unto Him. As we blend our voices together, we sing the same songs, we encourage one another by these things to more faithfulness unto God. We pray unto God. On the first day of the week, we take of the Lord's Supper and we give of our means. This is a way that we have of worshiping God. And I'm here because I want to worship God. I want to worship Him because He has done so much for me. When we think about His grace, the Son that died for us, the physical blessings He has given as well as the spiritual blessings, we want to worship Him. And certainly the God in heaven and His Son is worthy of all the praise and all the glory and all the thanksgiving we can give unto Him. Whatever we can do in honoring Him really falls short of what he deserves. And I want to worship him. And that's why I'm here. That needs to lie at the core of all of us. We also want to be obedient unto God. I've saved this for last, because most of the times this is what talks about first. But if there's no other reason than this, if there's no other reason than God wants me to be here and commands me to be here, that should be enough. In Hebrews 10 and 25, the inspired writer there talks about certain individuals. It had become their practice, for whatever reason, to forsake the assembling of the saints. Now, they were being persecuted at that time. They were suffering physical persecution because they were Christians. Certainly, that would curtail some people coming. But they were being persecuted. But whatever the reason, there was really no excuse. There was no excuse. There was no reason why they should. But they were forsaking. It had become a practice to some of them. And the inspired writer told them this should not be. This should not be something that they would do. We should have a desire to be obedient unto our Father and unto our God in heaven, the one who created us physically and spiritually, the one who provides for us all of our blessings. We should want to be obedient unto him. These are some of the things that I believe should lie at the core of us in our wanting to demonstrate our love for God and our commitment unto him. Zeal, a desire to learn, a desire to help others, an understanding of true values of wanting to worship God, wanting to be obedient unto him. Perhaps we could add other things to this. These are just some of the things that I believe lie at the heart and in the heart of one who seeks to worship God properly. What are you demonstrating in your life? Is this how you demonstrate your love for God? Is it by, as we're talking about in this particular lesson this morning, is it by your presence at all opportunities to gather with those who are saints? We all realize that from time to time, sickness or health will prevent us from being here. But for most, it is, for most of those who do miss, it is simply that they have a desire not to be here. Because most, when they are absent, when they are not present at the assemblies of the saints, it's not so that they can stay home and they can read their Bible. I don't believe that's the reason they stay home. Those who are sick and miss an opportunity, they might sit home and read their Bible or study something that's in the Word of God. But for most people, because they're not here, it's not to stay home and study the Word of God. It's to do something else. It's they've got a television program that they want to watch, or they've got a friend they want to visit. These are the reasons. You have demonstrated your commitment to him, to Christ, by being here this morning. By your presence, this is a demonstration of your love, of your commitment to the cause of Christ. But we would ask in closing, what about tonight? What are you going to demonstrate this evening at 6 o'clock? What about Wednesday night at 7:30? What are you going to be demonstrating in your life? Are you going to be demonstrating that commitment that you have unto him, or that you really don't have that much of an interest in what God says? What about next week at the meeting that is coming? The meeting that we will have with Brother Blackaby. Will there be nothing to learn at those meetings? Will there be no one here that you can encourage or that can encourage you? Will the commands of God be different then than they are now? Or will your values become confused simply because of the time of the day or the week that it happens to be? Demonstrations are important in our life because they show our commitment unto a cause. They show the devotion that we have unto Jesus Christ. And there is absolutely no greater cause than the one that has Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as its King. What are you demonstrating in your life? These are things that perhaps you could add to that needs to lie at our very core, at our very heart. And if they do, then not only will they affect the command of our attendance, but they'll affect everything in our life because we will be committed unto Him. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, why not make a commitment unto Him? All that He expects is your everything. He expects you and your being to be committed unto Him. But what you get in exchange for that is far above any price, any value of things in this life. Because He gives unto you eternal life, a home in heaven with Him. After the day of judgment, will be given unto those who are faithful unto Him, who make that commitment. If you're here, you're subject to the invitation of Christ this morning. A song is going to be sung by us, and we hope that you will make your way forward, wanting to make that commitment, being converted unto Christ. If you're here, all things have been prepared. Won't you make your way forward as we stand and as we sing?